Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter, coming to you twice this week because that's how I do it. I'm here with Ween Dog, who was the breakout star of the podcast. People, I've been doing comedy for 20 years, and people are like, dude, Ween Dog's killing me on the pod. I'm like, thanks, man. So you are a bona fide star.
Well, dude, I'm looking to expand Ween Dog Industries. Yesterday, I put out a tweet. I said, it was a poll. I said, who would be interested in buying a Ween Dog t-shirt? And I had one person say yes and one person said no. Just me seeing the no, I got so self-conscious and sad, I just deleted the tweet and got
Dude, welcome to fame, bro. Fame, it's I mean, you should see how the hate. I know I'm not doing that well with my career when I stop getting haters.
Right.
The more haters you get, the better you're doing. And so, unless you're like OJ or something, and like, I mean, people hate you for that.
Perfect example. Look at Colby Covington. No, all the news you hear about him is just people hating on him. All the fighters hate him. But dude, look at how popular he is. He's like one of the most talked about people.
But
now,
he might have went overboard. Like, he might actually have like talked himself out of a title shot. He might be the first guy to ever do that. But it's been a good, I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is legal in California, and you can get it delivered right to your apartment, to your house, I don't know, to wherever you are. They will come to you, speedweed.com. It's my buddy Gino. He's a great guy. They got everything, edibles. They got vapes. They got flower. They got CBD oil. I'm telling you, I had a friend, Andrea, who hurt her back. She fell on the stairs. And she did everything. They gave her all kinds of stuff. Nothing was working. She put the CBD roll on, and then now she's feeling better. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you guys on this, check them out, speedweed.com. Also, if you order stuff on Amazon, which most of you do, go to adamhunter.com first. Then click on the Amazon banner on my website. Click that, and then buy whatever you want. It helps me out, helps the podcast out, it helps the world out. Speaking of which, I had a show last night at a sober living house. They hired me. If people, after they go through rehab or something, they then have comedians come in.
Uh-huh.
And
you've done this a lot recently.
I do these a lot, and I really enjoy them because these people need to laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing that you can say that really offends them. They've heard it all. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was really, really cool. It was fun. It was nice. It was a cool little... Sometimes I'm just like, man, this is why I do it.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of times I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. But that was definitely cool. So I was happy with that. And I'm excited. It's a good weekend of MMA. Tomorrow night, Bellator has some really good fights. I'm excited to see Darion Caldwell, who I predicted was going to be champion. I was like, this guy is the future of MMA. And he's now the champion.
It's awesome.
And this dude made weight. Anybody who's missed weight, look, if this guy can cut 50 pounds and walk around at 185 and make 135, you can make weight.
Uh-huh.
When I wrestled in high school and even college, I never missed weight. I just didn't do it. I would be too embarrassed. I feel like I would let my team down. And I wasn't getting paid. If I was getting paid and I had a family to support,
right?
Fuck. No way I would miss weight.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that sometimes things happen when you take a fight on short notice. That's probably, I think, the only time it's acceptable to miss weight is if you take the fight on like a week notice and you're like, okay, I'll do it. And then you're like, things go awry. Mm-hmm. But come on, what are we doing here? So yeah, I'm excited for that. Joe Warren's on the card too. Joe Warren is always he's a great fighter, but he's also just a funny guy. My friend Kamozi was telling me how he was driving in a car with him, and he was like on the phone watching TV on the sidewalk. He was like a fucking cartoon character. So he's fighting Joe Tamaglio, who beat Darion Caldwell. A guy, I think he's from Guam. And you ever been to Guam?
Where's that? I mean, maybe.
No, you probably have not. If you've been there, you have not been there. It's this really cool little island, and beautiful water, great people. And they have like 19 strip clubs in this little fucking island.
Damn, dude.
It's all these military bases.
Oh, okay, that's why.
And there's tough people from Guam.
Okay.
So how are you doing? What's going on with you?
Man, you know what? I ain't gonna lie. Going through some stuff on Tinder.
What happened?
I matched with this girl like a couple days ago, dude. And her name is Chang Chang. And she's a 30-year-old Asian woman.
What's wrong?
She's very... She's very straightforward. I remember talking about an Asian woman I met on the podcast like a year ago, yeah. How she sent me a picture of her Harry Bush.
But does she want money? Or like, what do you mean she's straightforward?
I mean, she's like, listen, this is what I want. I want a nice, handsome young man to just do dirty things to me.
And what's wrong with that?
I mean, I'm just not really attracted to her. I mean, she's just kind of...
What does she look like?
Like, you know when you, like, I don't want to... Be like, I don't know. She's just very. She's not the most attractive woman. Is what I'm trying to say.
Is she a five or like a three?
I'll say about like a three.
She's a three. But you matched with her, so why did you swipe right in the first place?
Well, I swipe right on everybody.
Everybody, you're right. You don't even have. So you just kind of just see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So she says, "I want to do dirty things to her." Like what?
And the thing is, I don't get a lot of matches. This is what I have to deal with. Like in the meantime, until I get the next match. It's not like I have 20 women I'm talking to at the same time.
Do you have unlimited matches?
No,
just
but
pay the $20.
I've been thinking about like $12 monthly, which is ridiculous. How's Netflix like $10, but Tinder's like $12?
Well, because you're gonna get laid on Tinder and not on Netflix. You're not gonna fuck Stranger Things.
Damn, that's true.
Well, actually, you are fucking a Stranger Thing right now.
That's good.
So yeah, I would say do the unlimited.
Okay.
And go. I mean, yeah, but you haven't met her yet.
No, I don't even think I want to meet her.
So then just say you met somebody. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way. Be like, sorry, I met somebody and we're getting married or something, or just make something up.
I mean, my thing right now, my biggest problem is that I get matched with women that are in different countries and then I fall in love with them.
Well, why aren't you putting like radius? What, like,
dude, it's I have the radius on. They have their radius set to specifically Los Angeles. They want to meet dudes.
What do you mean
you
fall in love with them?
Like, I'll be talking for a little bit. I know they're in a different country. I know they're in Germany or Turkey or Brazil. I know they're there and it's going to be very difficult to have a relationship or to bang them at least.
Yeah.
So we just start talking for a little bit. I let my emotions out. I talk to them about serious stuff. And I tell them I'm a big rapper in Los Angeles. I work on a big podcast. I don't tell them which podcast.
Wait, you said you're a big rapper?
Yeah.
You're not a rapper.
I mean, I haven't had a song out yet, but I do consider myself slowly getting into the rap game. That's why I'm wearing this chain right now.
Have you ever rapped before?
Not like professionally, not even on an amateur level, you know.
So you're not a rapper.
I'm like the sort of the CM Punk of the rap game, dude.
Not even close. CM Punk actually trains.
He has had a UFC fight too. Yeah.
Well, and what's your rap name? Is Ween Dog?
Yesterday in class, I wasn't paying attention to anything in class. I was trying to figure out my rap name, and it's so difficult because Ween Dog is so silly and ridiculous.
Ween Dog is a great name for rap.
It is, but I want to be like the next Drake. I'm trying to think, is Ween Dog going to be on Billboard? Is going to be on
but Drake? You know, have you written any rhymes yet?
I wrote a rap about cheeseburgers, but I'm not ready to drop that one out yet, dude. But the first thing I want to do professionally is write the MMA Roasted theme song.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, people keep asking me about what our theme song is.
I saw that.
For the 800th time, it's a guy who's a comic in Mongolia, used to be in this rap group in Mongolia. Mm-hmm. You can't get it on Shazam, but if you ask me, I will DM you the link on YouTube.
It's a dope song, too.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
People like that song. First, they hated it, then they liked it. Mm-hmm. All right, so you rapped about cheeseburgers?
Well, I have a rap about cheeseburgers. I'm writing a rap right now about cheeseburgers. You know, people know me.
You love cheeseburgers?
Oh, I'm the cheeseburger god, dude.
What do you mean you're the god?
I'm god of cheeseburgers. I wanted my rap name to be like King Burger or Burger King, but I'm like, I'm going to get sued for that.
No, dude. I think Ween Dog is good.
Yeah, I'm thinking Ween Dog, but...
Yeah.
Because right now, I don't know how...
So you tell girls you're a big rapper in the U.S.?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how involved you are in the hip-hop community or... Yeah. But there's rappers with such ridiculous names.
No,
like,
I know.
There's a dude, his name is 69.
Takashi 69.
Takashi 69.
Yeah.
People with ridiculous names.
Or Extension or like... Yeah,
it's like, how is that a name, dude? And
they actually rap, though. You don't actually rap yet.
Oh, but they don't know what's about to drop. It's coming, dude. 2018. I just got to wait for my producer to get out of high school so we can focus on...
You have a producer in high school?
Yeah, he's my little cousin. He's a good producer, dude. He makes good beats. I'm waiting for him to get out of high school so we can just focus on beats and making songs.
Everyone here has just gotten dumber for the past 5 minutes, but thank you. Dude. No, good luck, man. Look, whatever you want to do, you can do. Are you 21 years old?
Yeah.
So, okay, but why don't you just start by writing a couple rhymes, and put it to music,
uh-huh.
And we'll play it on the song. And you know what? We'll have, actually, I know some real rappers.
You serious?
Yeah, and we'll have them. I got some people.
Okay.
Who actually rap, uh-huh. And they will come and listen to it, uh-huh. And they'll tell you what they think.
Oh, dude, this is like a dream come true, dude.
They might tell you it's horrible.
Well, don't tell them to tell me it's horrible.
No, I'm saying they might not tell you that it's great.
Yeah.
But I will have them give you honest opinions.
But yeah, I do need constructive.
Because I have no idea. You could be great.
I could be the next Eminem.
Well, Eminem started, you're starting a little late in the game. That's the only problem.
I know these rappers are like 17, 18, like 20. I'm
11
like, what the
or 9 yeah. or something, or, you know, but whatever. I mean, look, Lil Bow Wow started real young, and now he kind of fizzled out, I guess. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're right in the right.
Could be the next Notorious B.I.G.
Okay, so John Jones and Misha Tate are in kind of a feud. So Misha Tate basically said, I've given up on John Jones. I'm done with John Jones. He like let me down based on the whole steroid thing. Mm-hmm. And then John Jones responded to her saying, I didn't quit when things got tough. Okay, here's why I kind of have a problem with John Jones saying that. Misha Tate did not quit when things got tough. In fact, she was down against Holly, didn't quit, won that fight. She never quit against Ronda. I mean, she tapped, but I don't think she really, she was going to lose her arm. Misha Tate is a fighter. There's a girl who actually, you know, she's a pioneer of the sport. And she did quit fighting when she didn't want to do it anymore. If you watch her last fight with Raquel Pennington, she didn't, I mean, she just said, okay, I'm done. Her heart wasn't into it. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the right time to actually stop doing MMA. How many times do we got to see guys like Jens Pulver or Gary Goodrich or anybody on the Bellator roster? I mean, half these fighters, but you're like, man, I wish these people would stop fighting at this point because it's diminishing returns. I mean, I'm happy that Mike Pyle's fighting this week and it's his last fight ever. Mm-hmm. But hopefully it will be his last fight if he says that, because I don't like to see guys that I used to be big fans of getting knocked out because they don't have what they once had, like Josh Koscheck or even, you know, some of these guys that went over there. So that being said, I don't think she quit when things got tough. She quit when her heart wasn't into it. It's different.
Yeah.
And also, Misha Tate was losing. John Jones never lost. Misha Tate never got popped for steroids. She never hit and run. She never, I don't know if she did cocaine. I don't think she's the kind of girl that does coke. So really, you know, Misha is, I understand why she would give up on John or say I'm done with John Jones. And John Jones, I don't think his response is really accurate. I understand why he would get upset about that. I mean, if people said they gave up on me, I would be upset about it. But John Jones, you make your bed, you got to sleep in it. You know, this is not the first time this has happened. You know, you fool me once, fine. Fool me. I mean, this is the second time where you got popped for something that should not have been in your system. So, John Jones, you got no one to blame for yourself. At the same time, look, I'm going to be a John Jones fan the way he fights.
I'm always going to watch his fights.
A fan of his everyone's going to watch his fights.
If he fights again.
John Jones, yes, he will.
You think so?
He's the best in the world.
Can you explain the ban that he got? So, he only got $205,000 ban, and then he got his license revoked or something.
Yeah, license revoked. I mean, he tested positive, and he also admitted that he didn't actually do the whole USADA thing that they gave you. He had his management take it for him. It's the guy, you know, I don't know. He is let down. I have not given up on John Jones. Unlike Misha, I have not given up on him because I think his talent and his ability and the way he fights, I will always be a fan of. I love the way he fights. The guy beats you at your own game. I mean, he beat Chael Sonnen at wrestling. He took down Daniel Cormier. He stood with Gustafsson in a striking contest. He took out Glover Teixeira. There's not a guy that ever beat him. I'm not the Matt Hamill thing. No, he did not lose that fight. No one on earth will say that he lost that fight. So that being said, it's just like, come on, dude. But anyway, so that's sort of the news of the day. Also, I got an email from Bellator. You know, I'm on this Bellator email list, and while I appreciate that they send me updates and stuff, they send me who won the fight when it hasn't aired yet.
Oh, so you're like subscribed to like some sort of like newsletter?
I don't know how. I didn't even subscribe to it. I somehow got on some newsletter, and the fight happens on the East Coast, or it airs on the East Coast. It doesn't air yet in the West Coast.
Which is ridiculous, dude.
They put Cops reruns. I told Rich Chow this is the main problem with Bellator, by the way. I said this is the problem, is that people do not, not everyone has DirecTV. I don't want to stream Bellator fights on some website that's going to give me 10 million viruses more than you have. Okay? I don't want to do that. And the main problem is that I don't get to watch the fights live. And not only that, so I DVR the fights. Now I got somebody on Bellator emailing me the results, and I can't even delete it because it's in the actual title. It says, what's his name is the new champion. I'm like, fuck, man.
It doesn't air till like 9 o'clock here.
No, and they tell me in the title, but I still want to be part of that fucking newsletter because it's got to be included.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. Yeah. So anyway, so Bellator signed John Fitch. I got that.
Nice.
John Fitch is a great fighter. He's a guy who will give anybody problems. He blocked me on Twitter, which sucks. Because I said his jiu-jitsu is so good, he puts the whole crowd to sleep. Truth be told, I'm a fan of John Fitch's fighting style. And I like wrestlers. And I like he's a grinder. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think it was him and Jake Shields fought each other, and I made a bunch of jokes about it. But it was nothing personal against John Fitch. I'm a big John Fitch fan. So that's the news of the fight. We got a great show today, by the way. We have Alonzo Menafield, who is undefeated, 6-0 with six stoppages, former pro football player. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, former college football player. I watched him fight in LFA, and right away I'm like, this guy's the next big thing. You know, it's that's how it is. You know, you sometimes you watch these guys, you're like, this is the next mm-hmm. big thing.
A lot of these football dudes that come from football are insane, just their athleticism alone, dude.
A lot of these guys, you're right. It's one, and it's their work ethic. It's mm-hmm. their ability. It's their able to explode mm-hmm. on you. I mean, we had a guy, Kurt, we had, what's the name on the show? Eric Anders, uh-huh. who was a D1 football player, right. played for Alabama, had like six tackles. And it's, you know, the issue is a lot of these guys have not done a combat sport mm-hmm. beforehand. So it's sort of like being a hot girl in comedy, where it's harder at first, but then once you get it, now that's actually probably the worst analogy ever. but it's sort of like they have everything. They have the athletic ability to
just not
anything.
The technique isn't
technique
not there.
And being comfortable on the ground. A lot of these guys don't have the wrestling background,
right?
Because you know, look, it's hard. You know, in high school, these guys, you know, you could wrestle or play football. A lot of times, a lot of times people don't want to do both. They're both grueling. And a lot of times they think, oh, the wrestling coaches think, oh, if he wrestles, the football coach thinks if he wrestles, he's going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So his size is going to go down. And that's bad for football. It's actually not. The quickness is going to go up. Your double's going to get better. Your tackle's going to get better. But I understand the thinking behind that.
Of course.
And also, when you're in high school, you're like, fuck, I can go pro in football. I can get a college scholarship. I can make millions of dollars a year. Or I could maybe make the UFC if I learned five other martial arts and blah, blah, blah. And before that, there was nothing. I mean, before the UFC, there was absolutely nothing. I mean, you were like, fuck, go to the football. Because wrestling, so that's the issue. And I understand it. But if you look at the NFL, there's so many football players that wrestle that help them out. Especially the heavyweights. I mean, if you can get the quickness down in wrestling and you go into football field, you'll be amazing. Mm,
and also, like, what percentage of UFC fighters are actually in that millionaire bracket? There's like a handful of fighters, right?
Oh, yeah. yeah, 1,000%.
There's like two fighters.
If I had a son and he was like, I want to be in the UFC or I want to be in the football. But, I mean, look, you can get, you know, concussions playing football. You can get CTE. You know, the lifespan of a football player is not very, and there's a lot of guys who want to do it. It's a lot harder. I don't know. It's a tough question, but you look at like what's his name is now the guy who used to play for the Cowboys. He was in the LFA last week. He got thrown off the Cowboys, I think, for domestic abuse and
Tim Tebow.
No, not Tim.
I have no idea about anything when it comes to football.
There's a guy in the NFL who fought for the LFA last week, and he used to be like a really good football player. He's an All Pro guy in Dallas Cowboys. Now he's training over at ATT. And there's all these, and I'm not a fan based on, like, you know, his prior track record as far as beating up women. I'll never be a fan of something like that. But, people, I guess, deserve sometimes second, third, fourth chances, and he seems to be getting his life together. And I don't really know exactly what happened mm-hmm. either. So that's, I don't want to all of a sudden judge him based on, I'm not that... up to it. But anyway, he's at ATT right now, and he's doing pretty well. And I saw him fight last week. He knocked out a guy in like 13 seconds.
Really?
Yeah, and he's got like legitimate power. So who knows? I mean, yeah, maybe there will be more of a influx of football players that are doing MMA. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a lot of guys, though, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really been one. I mean, even... There really hasn't been a good football player that really switched over to boxing. I do think that one guy who's fighting this week is Greg Hardy. That's his name. Greg Hardy. Yeah. So former Cowboy Greg Hardy's athletic comeback happened last week. He knocked out a guy quick. Soares said Ed Soares is in charge of the LFA. Said his past domestic violence transgressions is inexcusable. But said, I believe in giving people second chances. You can't make a mistake and be held for it forever. The guy paid the price of losing his NFL career. There's nowhere. Yeah, so he, that's, yeah. that, you know, that's, I understand. I understand both. Look, I understand if it was my sister or my mom or my cousin who married Greg Hardy, mm-hmm. who got the shit beaten out of him, if that's what happened, I'd be like, fuck that, you know? Mm-hmm. But if it was my brother or my son and the guy who needs to make a living and he's very sorry for what he did and, you know, he fucked up and... We're all about second chances, right?
But when it comes to second chances, there's so many factors that come into play. Like, when did he do all these
wife beatings? Yeah, I don't know. When?
Bill Cosby, he raped all these women. I don't know when the last rape was, but would you give him a second chance even though he has all this shitty stuff on his track record?
No, because that's like, supposedly there's like 60 women.
Yeah.
Even after one woman, I would say rape, you don't get a second chance.
There's some things that are just unforgivable.
But I don't know the full story of what happened.
Yeah, me neither.
That's why I can't really comment. So why the fuck am I commenting? I don't know, because this came to my mind. But anyway, we're going to call a guy right now who's a badass fighter, actually. I'm telling you, this guy is the next big thing. I was right. I was right about Daniel Cormier. Obviously, that wasn't the hardest thing to pick. But I said, this guy's going to be the UFC champion. He's the UFC champion. I was right about Darian Caldwell. Mm-hmm. I was Chris Weidman. Very early, after his first UFC fight, I told Dana. I said, this dude... He didn't remember the guy's name. I was right about Weidman, okay? Sometimes you look at somebody and you just know. Now, I don't know this guy's ground game. That's the only thing. He seems to just be knocking fuckers out left and right. And the guys they put him in are not exactly world beaters. But that's exactly who you should be fighting in the beginning.
He's beaten wrestlers?
He has beaten a Division II, I think, college wrestler, his second fight, in like 12 seconds or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this dude's... And he's a monster. He just looks like a monster. And wait till you hear this guy's story. I don't want to spoil it for you listeners, all three of you. But I'm kidding, by the way. We may not have the most listeners, but we have the best listeners.
The best.
The best.
Yes.
We have the most loyal, and I can spot him out during my shows.
It's really?
Usually a guy by himself who no one looks like they No, I'm kidding. I could usually spot him out. I just know. I can tell by what they're laughing at. Because they come to my show and they laugh at certain jokes that the other crowd does not laugh at. And I go, this guy's... And they're like, yo, I love your podcast, blah, blah, blah.
I mean...
Sometimes I get smoking hot girls.
That are fans of the podcast?
Yes.
How come they ain't DMing the Ween Dog? What the hell, ladies?
I swear. There's a couple times. A couple of them have boyfriends. One of them invited me to their wedding. One of the guys, the guy and girl's wedding in July.
They invited you?
Yeah, and the girl's a 10. And the guy's a cool guy, too.
Is he a 10 also?
Yeah, I was looking through. He's not a 10. He's a 10 personality. You see, I mean, he's a good guy. I don't know. He's a good guy, and I think he's got a good job, and he's a sweet guy.
Okay.
She looks like she's kind of a hot mess, too. I don't know who I'm talking about, but they're a good couple.
Okay.
But she's like, her boobs are amazing. Just a chick, I'm like, yeah. But we do have some hot listeners, by the way.
Well, what the hell? I'm right here. I promote my Instagram, my Twitter, every single episode. Come on, ladies. I got this Thea. What's her name? The trans dude?
Yeah,
woman?
Yeah, Shay.
Shay.
She likes
Shay.
Right?
That's my biggest fan right there. Come on, Shay. We're going to set up the pay-per-view first date with Shay.
Are you going to go out with Shay, the transgender?
I'm going to have multiple pay-per-views.
I thought it was Jesse Jess.
I got Jesse Jess first. We're going to go to the MMA Awards together. When we're going to film it and document it. And that's when we're going on a date with Jesse Jess. Then we're going to go with Shay.
Now, Jesse Jess has agreed to go out with you?
I mean, not officially. She hasn't signed the paperwork yet, but...
But she said, I'll go on a date with you?
I mean, I told her the things that I do. And then she said, this better be a good fucking date. So I take that as a, we're about to get it started, dude.
She's a cool chick. She's a fun girl, too.
How old is she?
80. No, she's about like, I think she's 20 something.
Really?
Maybe early 30s.
I mean, she's Australian. She's hot.
I'm telling you, Australian girls, I had sex with one Australian girl in my life. And I was just like, I was giving her good, right? I was like making her moan and stuff. And at the end, she's like, that's all you got?
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I was like, all right, we're going round two. This was early, but like, yeah, the Australian girls are like, they're like, they have the personalities of dudes. But the looks of hot chicks.
Dude, they're so beautiful. The accent is the sexiest accent of all time.
I agree. I think the hottest accent is Australia or England.
New Zealand.
The worst is Boston.
Boston?
Nothing turns
me off. Oh, like New Jersey girls, Boston.
No, Jersey's not as bad, but Boston, nothing turns me off quicker than a Boston accent.
Well, you're from the East Coast. You can like identify the specific accents from like New York, New Jersey, Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a harder time doing that.
I'm telling you, Boston, like, they could have, like, but back in the day when they had these shows, burlesque shows, they'd have comedians come on, like, halfway through to cool off the crowd.
Okay.
They get the crowd all get going and then a comic go on with this shitty jokes. And you could have a girl with a Boston accent, it would act the exact same thing. Like, like if you have sex with a girl from Boston, her face has to be on the pillow. Because if you hear her talking, you'll be like, park my car.
I can't.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, give me that cack.
Like Fran Drescher or something like that.
Oh, even worse.
Hello?
Hello, this is Alonzo Menifield.
Yeah, this is Alonzo Menifield.
How's it going? This is Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. I'm here with Ween Dog. Big fan of yours, man. Big fan.
Well, thank you.
I was telling him, you know, a lot of times I see a fighter for the first time and I go, this dude's going to be a star. This dude has it. He has that it factor. I said that about Cormier when I saw him, Weidman after his first fight. I said it about the Bellator champion, Darian Caldwell. And I was watching LFA last week. I'm on my exercise bike watching LFA, and you came out, and I was like, holy shit. This dude is the future, man. Legitimate future. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much.
No problem, man. So for the people that don't know, Alonzo Menifield is 6-0 with 6 knockouts. Or 6 stoppages, right? Not one fight has gotten past the second round. You were on the Contender Series, and the guy quit after the first round. And he just said, I'm done. The guy wouldn't even get off he wouldn't even get off the stool. So.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, was that kind of a buzzkill for you? Because, you know, the guy doesn't want to get off the stool. The first round, you won, but you didn't knock him out, and then you kind of get overlooked to be in the UFC.
Yeah, definitely a buzzkill. Mainly what made me kind of mad about the thing is he hit me with that overhand, man. I had to get him back. So I was mad about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I mean, you've been killing people. The guy, by the way, his name was Daniel Jolly. Your first fight you had with Bellator lasted like 50 seconds. You came out there, you murdered the guy. Why did you not stick with Bellator?
You said on the first fight?
Yeah.
What was that again?
Your first fight was in Bellator. You beat the guy like in under a minute, but how come you didn't stay with Bellator?
Oh, yeah. Well, Bellator offered me another fight, but the guy record was like 11-3, and I was on board with my trainer, Saxon, at the time, was like, nah, that's not good, as far as, like, matching. So I asked Bellator to match me as far as experience level, and it kind of just blew me off. So I was like, all right, whatever.
They're such idiots. They did that with Eric Anders, too, another guy who was a football player. The guy goes out there and blitzes his first guy, and they don't want him back. It's like, ugh. You got to know what you have in front of you. It's like having Pamela Anderson just like and banging her, and then all of a sudden she's like, "Let's do it again, prime Pam." And you're like, "I don't know. Let me look at other people." And you're like, next thing you know, you're stuck with some fucking horse. But let's talk about you, man, because I you know, your story is incredible, man. Just you know, you're as a kid, you're from Compton, right?
Yeah.
You grew up in Compton. When you were 11 years old, you were younger, you and your brother were very close. Your father passed away when you were young, right?
Yeah, my father passed away.
How did he pass away?
Police. He got into it with them, and they shot him, killed him.
Oh, my God.
Fuck. So your father gets shot by the cops. Your mom gets taken away from you at 11. Your mom's from Belize. By the way, Belizean women are incredible looking. By the way, I don't know if you. I'm not saying your mom. I'm just saying in general, Belize has some very hot women. Your mom gets taken away, and you get thrown into a juvie, right? You were in 12 foster homes.
Yeah. Well, I was with my mom, and I've been in and out of juvie, even when I went into like the CPS or system. I was in the system at 11. As far as group homes or whatnot. And yeah, I mean, I've been to a whole bunch of group homes because I was like kind of a bad boy.
Now you were always getting into fights at group homes, and it got to the point where you were beating up kids so bad they were pressing charges against you.
Damn.
Yeah. This one kid, me and him were fighting, and he went through the wall. I'm not going to tell you how, but yeah, he went through the wall and then he pressed charges on me. And I remember going to juvenile hall off of that. You know, it's pretty crazy. And then I had to go to another group home.
I mean, this is like, so then you're 15 years old, you and your brother, now you're always with your brother? They're always keeping you guys together?
Yeah, yeah, me and my older brother, Cecil, yeah, they kept him and I together.
And then do you have other siblings as well?
Yeah, yeah, I got like 5 sisters and like 4 brothers total.
Wow. And now where are they during all this time?
You said, what are they doing?
Yeah, like while you guys are in the group homes, are they also in the system?
Yeah, yeah, they're all, well, me, the Minifields, we would say, because it's Minifield, Browns, and Smith. Minifield kind of got lost in the system. The Browns, they got picked up by their family. And the Smith, which is the younger ones, my auntie picked them up.
Wow. So your dad was very busy. So he seemed to have a lot of kids. So then you're 15 years old. And I was watching this. You're in Hollywood in a group home, and there's an African guy named Godwin Azenwa, and he likes you. He's like, you know what, this kid's all right. You and your brother are 15. You can't read or write at this point, and he legally adopts you. He says, I want you. So now normally Americans adopt African kids. An African guy adopted you guys.
Yeah, right. Isn't that crazy? So yeah, he's from Nigeria, Igbo tribe, and he actually was fond or knew my brother, and then him and I started talking in the group home, and we all just had a connection. And yeah, he ended up adopting us, so, and like showing us stuff and teaching us all kinds of good stuff that we can use growing up.
Which is amazing. I mean, that's such a beautiful thing. I think Nigerians are the nicest people. I've said it before on the show. I have not met a Nigerian person that I have not liked. They have great smiles as well. So they throw you on the high school football team, and now you're just murdering people. Like, you've never played football before, but you're like, wow, I get to hit people and get awarded for it. This is the greatest thing in the world, right? And you're just killing everyone. Now, are you playing? Are you going to Hollywood High School? Or what high school did you go to at this time?
No, at the time, I was playing at Kane High School.
Okay, Kane, is that in L.A.?
No, it's in Santa Clarita. It's like north of L.A.
Santa Clarita. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're murdering people, though, right? Like, you're on the football field just, they're like, who the hell is this guy? I mean, if I'm a coach, I got to be in, like, love with you. Because I'm like, all of a sudden, this huge black guy is just beating up all the white kids on the football field, right? They're like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I'm hitting them. I wasn't pretty much, like, I guess a jerk. But, no, when we put on the pads, I definitely was a different person. It didn't matter if it was practice or a football game. I was trying to take someone's head off.
Now, at 15 years old, when you can't read or write, how did you end up learning that so quick?
Well, I mean, it's not like I couldn't completely not, you know, read and write. It's just I wasn't good at it or good enough to, you know, pass at certain levels as far as high school. So my Nigerian foster dad made it where I can get better skills or learn more. And we just pretty much went from there. And, yeah.
Which is incredible. That's, so then you get into Texas A&M. Right, so now you're playing college football, Division II. Now, are you just the man on the football field? Because you're from Compton, you came from the hood, you came out of the projects. You're like the real live Blind Side. You're like the Blind Side guy, except you're not fat and kind of weird, right? Like you're the man. Now, is Texas? Are you having the best time of your life in Texas?
Not really. When I left California, I was like homesick, and I was in Texas, kind of like, oh, you know, this is not okay. But I got over it because, you know, it's what men do. And, after that, I just played football, made the best of it, and it was pretty much, you know, good from there.
Well, you almost made you made the CFL and arena, right?
Yeah, yeah, I play IFL. It's arena, Sioux City Bandits, and it was in Iowa, Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
And I played there for like a month. And then I realized I hated that indoor football.
Were you close to making the NFL or no?
Yeah, I was trying to get to the NFL, man, but it was so much politics. It was like, you got to be this height and this weight. And I was like, you know, you pretty much should go off how someone played. And it didn't come down to that. So I was like, you know what? You know, I'm going to go into fighting. Because I seen that guy Rampage slam somebody. I was like, yeah, let me Let me try that out.
Well, I mean, so then you go, now you're at the gym now. You're with, you know, Ryan Spann, Rashad Colter, Steven Peterson, Charles Byrd. You're with some really good guys. Were you getting beat up at all in the gym, or were you the guy, did you right away? I mean, was it hard for you in the beginning? Because you probably couldn't have been, you weren't that good of a fighter in the beginning, right?
Yeah, you said of a fighter?
Yeah, as a fighter. Like, were you getting beat up in sparring at all?
Oh, no. I mean, I pretty much go in there, and I don't look to, like, destroy any of my opponents or whatnot, but I go in there, and I'm a sponge, and I learn. And through that, you know, I get kind of beat up. So I got to definitely make sure I'm on my P's and Q's so I don't get beat up too bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those guys are tough. And I learn. And I'm not in there to hurt anyone or get hurt.
Right.
So that's pretty much what happens when I go in to our gyms.
And you're married with kids now?
Yeah, I'm married. And I have two boys. So, yeah.
Nice.
That's always a good thing, family.
Yeah. What does your wife look like?
She is original. I don't know, black woman.
Nice.
You call her African-American.
Yes.
She's from St. Louis.
Oh, okay. So she's angry. Yeah.
And I met her at A&M Commerce.
Oh, nice. So look at you. See, now look at how... Now you got two boys. How old are your boys now?
Alonzo, he's 6, and Xavier is 3.
So you must not take any shit from. I mean, because like these kids are like, "Daddy, we don't have this," or "The cable's not working." You're like, "I was in 12 fucking group homes, throwing people through windows and in jail and arrested." I mean, right? I mean, there's nothing that they can say to you that you haven't done.
Right, right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So I mean, have anybody from the after the UFC, after the Contender Series, did Dana talk to you? Did Shelby talk to you? What did they say to you?
Mick told me that, you know, just stay focused up and pretty much get a few more fights, and then, you know, hopefully something happened after that. And I was like, all right, cool. So pretty much just what I got from that is like, all right, just keep winning.
Yeah.
And you'll eventually get in the UFC. So, all right, cool.
Now, the last guy you fought, he was 315 pounds when he was 10 years old. But the guy had bigger tits than, like, any of my ex-girlfriends. But he was tough. He was tough. But you just, you took him down. You just pounded him out. It was easy. I mean, you're making these guys look easy. That's what the only thing I'm a little concerned about you is that you have not been the distance. You haven't been 3 rounds, haven't been 5 rounds. How's your cardio?
Oh, my cardio is good. You know, I watch a lot of fighters, man. I see that cardio when it goes away, how they get knocked out or how bad stuff happens. So I stress cardio, and, you know, I work it. And, so I'm waiting to be tested so I can see how it feels, you know, and basically grind it out. But yeah, I work on cardio all the time. I switch it up. I swim, run, bike, cycle. I do it everything.
Nice. And
wrestle.
And what belt are you in jiu-jitsu?
You said what now?
What belt are you in jits?
Oh, belt? I'm off and on jiu-jitsu, so I wouldn't really go off the belt, but you can call me a blue belt.
A blue. Okay. All right. Well, that might be your. We gotta work on that, right?
I mean, John Jones is a blue belt too.
Yeah, John Jones, right? I'm off and on. Like, I'll do it for like 2 months, and then I'll take some weeks or a month off, and then I'll go back. I watch a lot of videos, and I do it while I do MMA or grappling training. You know, but not when I put the gi on. I don't do the gi all the time.
Well, because right now it looks like you have no weaknesses. I'm looking at, I mean, you look at this guy, you're like, this guy's, but I'm just wondering if I'm training to fight you, I'm like, okay, don't stand and bang. Get the guy to the ground. He's got good takedown defense. So maybe we can try to catch him in like a triangle or a guillotine or that's probably what I would tell someone to fight you, you know? So,
yeah.
But I don't think that would actually work. All right. So listen, buddy. Alonzo, when you get famous, okay, don't forget us. Because I'm telling you, I good things are going to happen. Do you have to have a day job or no? Or could you support yourself through fighting?
No, I work at nighttime, believe it or not. I work at a nightclub. I check IDs. And then, you know, I get home. I sleep for like, what, 2-3 hours, maybe four. Oh, I'll train, sleep again, train again, or go back to work.
Damn. I like it. This is a man's man right here. And what does your wife do?
Oh, right now she's working to be a teacher, and so she's just doing a course right now in school, and she's going to be a teacher.
Nice. Well, listen, buddy, don't leave her when you get famous, okay?
Never. More of a sound.
No, I know the chicks are going to be out you. I mean, you're a good-looking black guy. It's going to be these white girls. They're going to see you. They're going to have big asses. They're gonna put it in your face.
Yeah.
Just stay away, brother. Stay away. Okay, be strong.
I will. A lot of that in the past. So it's not gonna be hard.
Good. I like it. Well, thanks for coming on the show, man. I'm a big fan, and I can't wait for your next fight.
Thank you, and I appreciate you very much.
Take care. That was Alonzo Menifield. Guy's a beast. I'm telling you guys, you heard it here first. This dude is going to be a problem for a lot of people.
He has a crazy story, too, dude. How can you not root for him?
You can't. You're an asshole if you don't root for
him.
Yeah,
I mean, the question came up during this call is, do you think the UFC does a good job telling their fighters' stories? I mean, I know...
This guy's not even the UFC. He's LFA.
I'm just talking about in general, like, because I feel like these organizations...
No, the answer is no. Not at all.
The closest I've seen them come is within the Ultimate Fighter show. They do a good job telling those fighters' stories, but beyond that...
Because they have 10 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
It's hard to like force this kind of story down your throat. You kind of have to, but at the same time, they could be doing a lot better job. I think so. And they could be using Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. They have the reach to do it. You know, a lot of times I'm sure a lot of these guys have great stories on Fight Pass. And if you search, you know, stories of fighters on Fight Pass, if you have nothing to do on your Tuesday, you can probably find some cool shit. But a lot of it is what's in front of you and what's shared to you on Facebook or that's the key. A lot of times it's not exactly, it used to be if you could build a better mousetrap, you'll have a better mousetrap. That was the saying, you know, build a better mousetrap, it'll sell. Not really. You got to build a better mousetrap and you got to know how to reach it to people because a lot of times like people are like, oh shit, where have you been for the last, you know what else is really good? Listen, even if you got a fat lip from a fight, you can still pack a fat lip with Black Buffalo. Black Buffalo is the only tobacco-free alternative dip that delivers the same experience as traditional smokeless products, just without any tobacco or leaf or stem. The taste, the texture, the rich, dark color, and yeah, the nicotine. So you can keep the ritual, but ditch the tobacco. How great does that sound? That sounds amazing, actually.
Sounds amazing, dude.
Black Buffalo makes tobacco-free long cut and pouches in the flavors of wintergreen, mint, and straight. Black Buffalo sells 2-packs, 5-packs, and merchandise exclusively on their website with free shipping. Head to blackbuffalo.com and use the code ROASTED50. That's ROASTED50 for half off your first order. I'm telling you, listen, Black Buffalo really is legit. If you're a dipping guy, you don't want the tobacco in it because the long-term effects of stuff, this is what you want to use. Black Buffalo. So when was the last time you got laid, by the way?
Oh, shit. It must have been 2 weeks ago with this Russian girl that I've been seeing. But she's sort of like, you ever been with a girl that's like super clingy and it's like too clingy and it's kind of scares you a little bit?
Really? Why?
Because like after like a week or 2 weeks of talking to her, she tells me that she loves me, all this stuff.
She already said she loves you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the one to say I don't say I love you to girls too early in relationships.
Yeah, no, dude, when I was your age, there was I took home this like stripper, and she banged the living crap out of me.
Uh-huh.
And then during sex, I was like, I love you.
Really? Yeah. During sex.
And then I was like, why did I say that? That was probably the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life.
Which was an awkward silence.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I hit it raw, too, which was a mistake. But I'll never make that mistake again. Want to know why? Because of BeADandy.com. Listen, people, do you feel embarrassed buying condoms at the grocery store? Have you been stuck in that moment at 2 a.m. alone because you forgot to buy rubbers? That's the worst, okay? You finally get a girl that wants to have sex with you, and you don't use protection, and now she's thinking, this guy's dirty, where has he been? How many other girls has he banged without rubbers? I'm going to get herpes, there's HPV, there's all kinds of gonorrhea, there's the clap, there's AIDS. Don't be that guy, okay? Do you have to? Do you hate going out of your way to buy condoms? That's you got to find a 7-Eleven that's open, and you get there. There's a homeless guy or a knife attack or whatever else is going on at 7-Eleven at the time. But how many times have you have sealed the deal only if you had a condom handy? Be a dandy. That's right. Don't settle for a handy with spits. Be a dandy. I'm telling you, I've had that. It's, you finally like, hey, you bring a girl home and she looks so good and she's naked and that vagina is wet and your thing is throbbing and you're like, oh, this is gonna be a great night. And now it's ruined. And now she's got to think of all the people that you slept with. And you think about all the girls that, or guys that she slept with. It's horrible. Listen, shipping is discreet. You never run out. And it's less expensive than buying them at the store. So you can order online at beadandy.com/podcast. That's beadandy.com/podcast. Special promotion for our listeners. You get half off the starter pack. That's $3 for your first order, which includes 6 condoms, then $6 a month. If you have a condom subscription, you will get laid more. Okay? Trust me on this one.
Dude, so, let me tell you something. Ever since...
Yes.
Ever since my dick has been shedding its own skin, I highly regret not wearing a condom all the times that I've ever had sex, now, dude.
And listen, do you have insurance? You have your parents' insurance, right?
Yes.
You got to get that checked out.
I mean, it's all better now, I think.
Your dick stopped shedding?
Yeah, I mean, it healed up. It was rough, dude. It looked like I'd fallen on the asphalt and scraped my dick. It was nasty, dude. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know if this Russian girl gave it to me or what. She has some kind of Russian disease.
You think she had a Russian disease?
I don't know what. I've never learned about your dick shedding in school or any STD related to.
No, I've never heard of that.
Me neither, dude. It was freaking weird.
I mean, I've had my penis burn for like a day or two, and then
really?
I get it back when I was in my early 20s. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's not good, bro. It's not your dick's not supposed to just fall apart.
it hurts. It started with my dick feeling like super calloused, rough skin. I'm like, why did it turn into like a stone, dude? What the hell happened? And then just started shedding, dude.
Oh, God.
It was awesome.
Hey, guys, we got a special treat. You're never going to guess. Conor McGregor. Yes, the great Conor McGregor. The notorious McGregor is calling in right now. Do not go anywhere because this is going to be awesome. Conor McGregor, how are you?
How are you, lad?
Great. Thank you so much, Conor. I know you're very, very busy with what you're doing and everything, but I just...
I'll be honest with you. I'm not so busy right now. I've been pretty available.
Oh, that's pretty good. Now, what's the deal? Because supposedly you were supposed to come back and you were talking about fighting Khabib, or you're fighting Nick Diaz, or you're fighting Frankie Edgar. Who do you want to fight?
Right now, I'm fighting my way through a bottle of Jameson.
Okay, so you're drinking a lot?
That's right. As soon as I can beat my own demons, I'll return to fighting mere mortals.
Now, how do you think you would do it? Now, supposedly you said that you would take the fight against Frankie Edgar, but the UFC said they wouldn't pay you enough. How much money did you want for that fight?
Well, it wasn't a matter of money. I actually wanted them to give me 3 children.
3 children? Like, what kind of children?
Well, I wanted a variety of colors. I wanted a redhead, so I had a child who looked good in photographs. I wanted an African child, so I had one who'd be good at sports. And then I wanted a brown child, so I had someone to cook.
Someone to cook. Okay, so you asked Dana White to give you 3 kids. And
that's right. I've got all the money I need. The only thing I don't have is some children.
Okay. All right. Well, no, but don't I hear that you do have children. That like actually you have a kid.
Yes, but I don't pay attention to him.
Okay. Now also there was rumors about you cheating recently with some pop star from the UK. Are you faithful, Conor?
Let me tell you something. When Conor McGregor does it, it's not cheating. It's doing the universe a favor.
Okay, so you're just fucking whoever you want, and you're helping them out.
That's right. They get a little more of the Conor McGregor gravy.
Now, you said that you would beat Floyd Mayweather. You told everybody you were going to knock him out. His head was too small. But what happened was he knocked you out. Well, they stopped the fight. He got a TKO. What happened there?
The referees clearly made a mistake. If you watch the fight, I was winning from beginning to end. Everything after that is, as you Americans say, fake news.
Okay. All right. So, but it did seem like you did win the first 4 rounds. But then you got tired.
Oh, I won all the rounds. Everything else was smoke and mirrors. They made it look the way it wasn't.
All right. I'm just telling you what people, it just seemed to me, I was watching it in China, and it did seem like you were getting kind of tired. You didn't really pace yourself for a boxing match.
Let me tell you something. I know it's hard for your tiny little mind to understand, but in a parallel universe, I knocked him out in the second round.
All right. Okay. Okay. Now, what do you think about the UFC potentially bringing back Brock Lesnar?
If they bring back Brock Lesnar, they might as well just bring back a whole tub of steroids with him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, how many times does the guy have to get busted for steroids for you to say he's banned from MMA?
The man isn't even made out of flesh and bone anymore. He's basically a large test tube of chemicals.
Now, John Jones recently, he was on trial, sort of. He was trying to get his license back. They fined him $205,000, took away his license. Is that fair, Connor?
Of course it's fair. He shouldn't even be allowed to apply for it.
Really?
Of course not. Again, he's a straight cheater, don't you know?
He's a straight
cheater. The only decent fight would be him and Brock Lesnar versus whoever deals their drugs.
Well, I can see why you would say that. Now, also, you went to a Bellator fight in England, or in England, I think it was, and you jumped into the cage and smacked the referee, Mark Goddard. What happened there?
Listen, when you're Conor McGregor, everything you do is a favor. I decided to throw them a little of the Conor McGregor gravy right there into Bellator. I actually was just driving by the venue. I was like, oh, baby, how about that? Why don't I go in there and say hello? Maybe beat up on a referee.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, Conor, so what do you have planned for the future?
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish this bottle of Jameson, and then I'm going to start another one.
All right, just drinking. Now, what about Khabib? It does seem like Khabib would be your biggest... If Khabib beats Tony Ferguson, which is a big if, it does seem like either of those guys would be trouble for you.
Not a chance. Please, I don't even have to train for Khabib. All I have to do is throw a decent meal in front of him, and he'll be distracted all the night.
All right, that's your plan. What about Tony Ferguson?
Tony Ferguson, the guy... The size of that forehead, you could show a movie on it. I'm not afraid of him.
All right. Well, thank you. Now, what is it with you and CB Gold? CB seems to be a big fan of yours. He's got lots of tattoos. What's going on with CB Gold?
CB Gold, he's like the old American Express card. He's everywhere you want to be, whether you like it or not. If I raise my skirt, there he is. If I lift my lamb chop, there he is. If I take a dump, he's in the corn.
Now, is CB there right now?
Of course he's here right now. CB, come out from under my testicles and say hello to the fine people.
CB, how are you doing today?
Geez, sorry about that, Connor. I didn't even think you knew I was in there.
So, CB, what's going on, buddy?
Well, as you know, I've been hiding out under his testicles for about a month now. And I've been trying to make an impression. I actually want to get an impression of his testicles tattooed onto my forehead. So I'm trying to make a natural impression. It's very hard to do because he's a surprisingly oily individual.
Now, CB, if you have Connor's testicles on your forehead, people are going to make fun of you.
Listen, I don't care what they say. My grandfather gave me $38,000 this morning. And so... I'm totally fine.
Oh, thank you. Now, I hear that Rowdy Beck is also with you guys for some strange reason. Rowdy Beck, are you there?
Beautiful, yeah. I just came back from New Zealand. I was taking some fat banners, and I heard there was the MMA race to boot camp, and I was like, oh, I love me, eat him Hancock. I know he tried to get me to suck his dick, but I'll never do it.
No, that's true. Now I'm married. I'll never get my dick sucked by you. Now, you're fighting Ashley Evans-Smith in Brooklyn. How are you preparing for this fight?
Well, I'm walking the streets of Brooklyn. I'm going around collecting broken bottle pieces. Then I'm going to sneak in under my outfit, and I'm going to slice it in readings.
What did you say?
I haven't understood anything she said to this point.
You're going to walk around the streets of Brooklyn?
It's right. I'm just... Try to give me some short the glass.
Okay. You're gonna get them glassed. You're walking on the street. Like, are you gonna be like a street walker, like an escort?
No, I'm not a street walker.
All right. Well, listen, Connor, Beck, CB, sounds like you guys are very busy. Thank you for calling in, taking time out of your day to call the podcast. We love you guys. Thank you, guys. Take care. All right. That was see people. We get Rowdy Beck. We get Connor McGregor. We get CB Gold, all the stars.
Can't believe Connor would be that nice just to call into the MMA Roasted podcast, dude.
You know what? I don't know. See, that's the problem with MMA now. I mean, obviously, we like having him on the podcast, but it just seems like they got to figure out, like, if you don't fight every 4 months or every 5 months, you're not ranked anymore.
Right.
Because these people are taking 2 years off, 3 years off. I understand if you have ACL injury or if you meniscus or tear. If you don't have a legitimate injury, it's just like the Lakers don't take a fucking year off and then come back. It doesn't happen in other sports, baseball. I want to see active fighters.
So you're saying if you're not active within 4 months, you should be completely taken off the ranks?
Off the ranks.
Okay.
5 months.
5 months.
Unless you're hurt. Uh-huh. If you're legitimately hurt. Mm-hmm. But this whole, like, you know, oh, I'm just going to wait and do super fights and all this other bullshit, it's ruining the sport.
So Connor should be on the ranks. John Jones shouldn't be on the ranks.
Nope.
GSP.
No. So John Jones isn't in the ranks, I don't think.
He isn't?
I don't think so. I mean, Cormier is a champion. What is he?
Number one?
Connor, I think, still is. GSP shouldn't be ranked either. He's retired.
Mm-hmm.
If you're retired, no, you don't get to be ranked.
Mm-hmm.
If you come back and you beat a guy who's, I mean... But to me, it's every 5 months. If you don't fight every 5 months, you're not ranked anymore.
Right.
Unless you're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just sitting out to whatever the fuck. All right. So he got delayed. Okay. So now we're calling this guy from Bama. But yes. So that's what happened. I was really nice talking to Conor McGregor, though. I mean,
yeah.
What a nice guy. You're right, though. I mean, the guy has a lot of people that want to talk to him. So for him to actually talk to us.
And what are the chances that CB and Rowdy Beck are over there hanging
with
him?
CB, it's 10 out of 10. Hello, is this Fabian Edwards?
Hello?
Hello, is this Fabian Edwards?
Oh, yeah, it's Fabian.
How are you, man? You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. I'm just here, Adam Hunter. You're here with the Ween Dog. What's going on, man?
I'm all good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. What time is it over there?
It's around 20 past 10 at the moment.
At a night or in the morning?
At the night. At night. What time is it over there?
Right now it's 2:15 in the afternoon.
Is it?
On Thursday.
What's the weather like?
The weather's not bad. We're in LA. It's pretty nice out. It's good. It's good. I got to tell you, man, I didn't really know who you were until this guy from Bama told me about you. And I watched your fights last night. You are a fucking killer, man. You are straight lethal. Your left hand to a flying knee. I mean, you're knocking people out with that left hand flying knee over and over again. Like, what is this? Who are you? Where did you come from? Talk to me.
Fabian. I'm from Birmingham. My brother's in the UFC, actually, Leon Edwards.
Got it.
He's in the top 15 welterweight. I just came onto the scene. I'm 3-0 pro now. 10-0 amateur. 3-0 pro. And I've just been cleaning up. I've knocked a few people out with the flying knee and stuff like that. So,
dude, you're
there'll be more to come in the future.
Did Leon beat you up when you were growing up?
Nah. Now we didn't really get into much fights, to be honest. We was very civil, you know what I mean? We never really fought each other.
So you're from Birmingham. What was it like growing up in Birmingham?
Birmingham, the area I was growing up around was, I don't know, it's a bit rough, but it was all right. Birmingham's boring, not really sunny as it is over there for you guys. You know, it was all right growing up in Birmingham, rough area. But I think that made me and my brother a lot tougher.
Yeah.
So that's done good for the sport.
Was there a lot of racism over there or no?
Oh no, not really. Not in Ireland. It's very mixed. It's a very mixed area. We have a lot of different colored people. So
that's good.
Everyone get on, in a sense.
That's good. Now, did you guys play sports growing up?
What did I say? We both tried to play football, but we both got two left feet, so we never really done really good. I think I played rugby growing up, actually.
Rugby, yeah.
I played rugby. I'm good at rugby. So, yeah, I played rugby growing up, and that was it. Never really done no fighting or anything.
So when did you get into mixed martial arts?
I've only been doing it for about 3 years now.
Wow.
So I got into fighting about 2015. So I haven't been doing it that long, but
no. You're like a baby at this now. Now how's your because I've only seen your striking. How's your grappling?
I can do it all. I can do it all. That's the answer for that. I can do it all. So I'm good. I'm good on the floor and I'm good on my feet. So yeah, the grappling is still a good level as well.
How's your wrestling? Because I know in the past, not really anymore, but in the past, that was the Achilles heel for the people from England. Because in America, they wrestle 5 days a week in high school and college. In England, they don't really have that. So, but how's your wrestling now?
Yeah, my wrestling is good. It's good. It's like I think the English guys have realized obviously how advanced the American wrestling are. So we've started to train a lot more in our wrestling and stuff like that. And you see a lot of guys take down defense and take down skills are becoming a lot better.
Yeah.
So my wrestling is good. My wrestling holds up. I stop people's takedowns and I stop them on the feet. So yeah, it's good.
That's great. Now, as far as Bellator, you look great in Bellator. I mean, you came out there, you hit the guy with a punch, a flying knee. It was awesome. It was incredible. Yeah. How come you're going back to Bama and you're not staying in Bellator?
Nah, the thing with Bama, and, the reason why I fought on that Bellator show was I was meant to fight on a Bama show in Birmingham a week before, and my fighter pulled out the day after the fight. So then the promoter, the matchmaker for Bama, also does a bit of matchmaking for Bellator. And he said my opponent I fought on Bellator, his opponent pulled out as well. So he said, would he be interested in it? I just took it. So it was only a one fight deal. It wasn't like a full on signing.
Yeah, but I would think that Bellator would see you and see that knockout and look at you and be like, hey, here's a 37 fight contract. You know, sign on the dotted line.
That's what I was thinking. that's the same. I was like, what else do I have to do?
Right? I mean, it's their loss. But wow. Now, has Sean Shelby or anybody in the UFC reached out to you?
No one's reached out. No one's reached out. But regardless, I know somebody must have the eye on me because there's not really a lot of middleweights. Actually, no middleweight. I class myself as the number one prospect in the UK middleweight-wise. So if they're looking for middleweights, and the middleweight division in the UFC ain't really stacked, so they must be looking.
Right. Yeah, no, they should be looking. Now, after you get that knockout in England, you must get laid like crazy, right? Is it just British chicks that are just like... I mean, come on. Tell me what happened. What happened that night? I mean, was it crazy? Was it just pussy galore?
I always get pussy, so nothing changed.
Nothing changed. Yeah, you seem you seem very confident. I mean, look, when girls meet you and you say, oh, I'm a fighter, and they hear the accent, I mean, it must be buckets, right?
Nah, I don't know. Nah, the fuck knows. Fuck knows.
I don't know. Man, now your brother is on a... I didn't even know that was your brother, by the way. They should have told me that. But your brother's on a five-fight winning streak. A four-fight winning streak. Just beat Brian Barberena, tough guy. Beat Albert Tumanov. Lost to Usman. Usman's a tough fighter. What do you think he needs to do to get into that top 10?
I just think he just needs to keep on doing what he's doing. Like I say, a four-fight winning streak ain't really common in the UFC. He just broke into the top 15. He's ranked number 15 now. He's fighting a week after me. So after he finished Peter Sabata, whatever his name is, then I think they should throw him a top 10 guy so he can prove his guy. He's top 10 level. So he just need a chance just to get one of the top 10 guys and prove that he can do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, what do you think about Conor McGregor, by the way? What's your thoughts on him?
I think he's good. I think he's good. Obviously, he's taking some time out. He should. He'll return when he returns. But regardless, the sport's gonna carry on. But I think he's good. What he's done for the sport is good. He's came and he's brought like MMA into a lot of people's. A lot of people that didn't know about MMA not like know about Conor McGregor. So it kind of like shine a lot more light onto our sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for that, I'm just like, fair enough. He done good, but doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, but don't you think that like a guy like him, yeah, he's done good for the sport, but he's not fighting right now. He's always flashing his money. He's running into the cage and slapping Mark Godbeer. He's sort of he's always making these like quasi-racial, homophobic stuff. It gets to be like a little bit. He could do better. I know he's doing really good, but don't you think like he could be actually fighting right now? Like fighting Khabib.
It could be doing better. And he should be like really and truly. If that was me, and I was in that situation, I'll be fighting because there's records that he needs to break. He's broken like PP, he's broken like records like for selling things. But you know, for title defense, he hasn't broken. For winning streaks, he hasn't. So there's still a lot for him to achieve in the sport. But in his eyes, I think he's just thinking I've got the most money, so that's all I need to achieve. You know.
Yeah,
but it should be fighting. It should be coming back and taking the heads off Khabib and Tony. So
right.
Let's see if he's gonna do it.
Now, who are some of the guys that you're training with?
I train with Yannick Berhati. He's he was Bama world champion. He's good middleweight as well. I train with Tom Breeze. He's in the UFC.
Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah, Tom is very good as well. And I just train with a few different guys in the UK.
Do you ever train
good
with
level guys?
Do you ever train with Luke Barnett?
No, I've never trained. We don't live close to each other. Now we never trained together. To be honest, I'll probably fight him in the future anyway. So you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like Luke. He's a really good friend of mine. And then what about that? What's that guy? Who's the guy who's fighting Aljamain next? The guy from
which one?
The guy from Wales who's undefeated. He hit a calf slicer recently.
Oh, Brett.
Yeah, Brett Johns. Does he live near you?
Yeah, but nah, that's like hours away.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's hours away. So everybody, I mean, like all the UFC guys in the UK, we're all pretty much like spread out. You know what I mean, there's not really a lot of us in the same area or close by.
Right.
We're like hours away from each other.
Is there any kind of rival between your gym and like McGregor's gym?
I went over there the other day, actually, a couple of weeks back. Sorry, I went over to their gym and I trained. It was good. It was all right to mix it up with different people.
Yeah. Got it. Did you see Mr. Finland?
Mr. Who?
Makwan Amirkani, Mr. Finland. They call him.
Yeah. When I was going, he just came over.
Oh, got it.
So the day that I was leaving, he just arrived.
He's a good dude.
The next UFC fight over there as well. A black guy. I don't know his name.
Oh, you're talking about the guy from Canada.
Yeah, he's over there as well.
Yeah, there's a guy from Canada, a black guy from Canada who trains over there. Who's like McGregor's partner. They're calling him like the next big thing. Well, listen, Fabian, I think you're the next big thing, man. You got everything, man. You got a good striker. You're funny. You're kind of you're very full of yourself. You got it, bro. You got everything, man.
You'll see. And I'm fighting next Friday. So next Friday, you get to see, hopefully watch it. You get to see a bit more of me. You know what I mean?
Okay. Now where can I watch this fight?
It's, you probably don't have this TV channel, ITV4. You ever heard of it?
I don't, but, if I'm in America,
have you heard of Unilad?
No, I've heard. Is it on Fight Pass? Is it on?
I made it to the big leagues yet.
All right. Well, okay. I'm sure I can watch it. Bama. Okay. Are you the main event? Are you the second main event? Third main event?
No, I should be on the. I'll be on the main card.
Right.
So
okay.
Whichever way, but you'll be on next good finish. So it should come up on your timeline because
this finish is going to be a good one.
Dude, all your finishes are good. Your finishes are insane.
Pop up on the timeline.
Good. And you got to do something crazy afterwards, like bang a ring girl, like in the actual cage.
I might just pick one up and run off with her.
Yeah, just run off with her. Just start spanking her ass. And be like,
might just do some crazy shit. I don't know. I'll see how I feel afterwards.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Fabian. You're a rock star.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Anytime. Take care.
Take care.
All right, that was Fabian Edwards.
It's awesome.
Kid's gonna be—he's a beast.
It sucks that he's in this promotion that it's like impossible for the world to see unless you're local.
Well, Bama is pretty big. It's actually really big. It's big. It's the biggest one in England, but it's actually like people have heard of it. Like hardcores have heard of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it does suck that I don't know where I can watch it. But yeah, so that does suck. So what else is going on?
Last podcast on Tuesday was pretty crazy, dude. We just talked about some fingering in the ass stuff, and it brought up some memories. Cause I'm the kind of person where if something traumatic happens in my life, I'll wash it out of me, wash it out of my system, completely forget about it, and then years later something will trigger that memory back, and I'll just cringe and be like, "Oh my god, I can't believe I did that." So that's what happened after last podcast on Tuesday, dude. Some crazy stuff came up, like all these memories of when I was like 8, 10, or 15. I can't remember how old I was. I was living down in Long Beach in my house, and we got a new neighbor kid, some little boy, and I just remember making out with him sometimes.
Wait, you were making out with a boy?
Yeah, dude. I don't. This is a weird memory, dude.
How old was he?
I mean,
how old were you?
We're pretty much the same age. No.
Oh, you were young.
I was like a little kid, dude, like 15.
15?
That was
like 5 years ago for you.
It was not. I mean, it was long ago, but it was like 10 years old. I mean, I would do some freaky stuff with this kid, but that was like before I even could get a boner or anything like that, dude.
You couldn't get a boner at 15?
No, I mean, this is before all that sexual development stuff as a child.
Right.
I just remember doing like some freaky stuff with this kid. I'm like, why did I do this,
dude? It's okay. It doesn't mean anything. Even if you were gay, that's still not a bad thing. It's fine.
Yeah.
But listen, when you're young, I know a lot of people, not me, but I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people that have experimented. When you're young, that's what you do. I know kids, the boys that have made out with each other. I was in a sleeping bag with a kid when I was like 5. We were rolling around like we weren't making out, but it was definitely gayish. Okay, so but look, things happen. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Okay,
I mean,
especially if you're a child or a kid.
It wasn't like no romantic like thing. We're just a couple dudes making out.
Okay, now we're getting weird. All right, so what do you mean we weren't romantic?
Like there was no emotions involved.
Fucking podcast, by the way.
There's no
be like fucking like go on. Okay, so you were young.
Yeah,
you were making out with a guy, and you were 15.
I'm not
years
a guy.
Old.
It was a kid my age. We're like eight or ten.
It was a boy. He was 10.
I mean, we were both like 8 and 10.
You just said you were 15.
I mean, it was like, I did some gay stuff when I was 15 too, but that was like sort of a different story. It's no big deal, but I'm talking, I mean, there was no emotions involved. We're just a couple of young kids
right,
making
so
out.
8 and 10, you guys were kissing, right?
I know, but now as an adult, see, I'm deep into psychology.
Right.
And I have no problem with trannies, transvestites.
I don't really like to call it trannies, but go on.
Or transgendered. You know, I watched a couple of tranny porns and stuff. I like it. I like the stuff, you know. I have respect for these people. It's hot. I mean, chicks with dicks, it's hot, dude. What's that girl's name that's my fan?
Shay.
You know, let's get it going, dude. You might be 40 years old with kids, but listen. No big deal.
Let's get it going.
Let's get it. I don't know. I want to meet. I haven't met a fan in person yet. I mean, Shay, she could be the first fan I meet in person.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to connect. All right. Young wean dog used to make out with little boys.
She sends herself dick pics, by the way, of her old dick.
She does?
Yeah. No, she told me that was a joke.
Young wean dog used to make out boys. No big deal. And fast forward to me, young, handsome 20-year-old kid. And, you know, I find some trannies attractive.
Transgenders.
Some of them are very attractive. I have no problem watching a transgender. Porn, no big deal. So I'm trying to wonder if that's related to my childhood to now.
I'm sure it's all related in some way.
I'm not a psychiatrist. I really can't offer you any type of other than like, you know, it's good to get it out.
Yeah.
On the podcast on MMA Roasted on a MMA.
I mean, this is like, yeah, it's like just therapy for all of us, dude.
Yeah, of course, man. Nothing to feel ashamed about. Listen.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I have no problem with gay people. I have dozens.
No one
of,
said you did.
You know, I mean, people on Twitter are always making funny memes of me, saying funny posts, making fun of me. I mean, it's no big deal. I'm very open and, you know, I'm very adventurous, but I'm not gay. I mean maybe a little bit.
What do you mean you're a little bit gay?
Just from the stuff that I've done in my past. On paper someone might say
that
I'm gay.
Dudes.
No, not at all.
Like you don't see a dude and you're like, hey, let's go on a date or something.
No, not at all, dude.
Okay, so then what does look, you're young, kids do things when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you had a very strange childhood.
It was pretty strange, yeah.
And adulthood too, actually. Uh-huh. Strange all the way around. Mm-hmm. But you know, nothing to worry about, man. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that you're sharing this with me.
Oh, thanks, man.
No problem. So, what do you have coming up? Other than your dick in a guy's ass. So what do you have coming up?
I'm really excited to announce the Ween Dog t-shirts are going to be dropping pretty soon. I've had people message me saying they'd love to buy a Ween Dog t-shirt. So that's going to be dropping pretty soon. Go follow me on Twitter at the Ween Dog, at the Ween Dog, WEENDAWG.
Yep.
And message me. Let's talk a little bit. I always like to live tweet during the fights. Go follow Ween Dog TV on YouTube. I'm going to be dropping a new SoundCloud account for my rap career. And it's gonna be huge. I can't wait to make the MMA Roasted theme song, dude.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Awesome. You can call you the guy that you made out with, and you guys could do a duo together.
I mean, I haven't been in contact with him in years.
Mm. All right. Well, yeah. Good luck with that, man. Listen, Friday night, I'll be at the South Point Casino, Long Beach Laugh Factory, March 7th, Syracuse Funny Bone, March 8th to the 11th. I will be in Bakersfield doing comedy with Tom Galicchio and Leslie Smith. That's awesome. On March 16th, The Laugh Factory in Hollywood, March 17th, Comedy Store, March 30th, Sacramento Punchline, no, Sacramento Laughs Unlimited, Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento, April 4th, San Diego Comedy Palace, April 13th and 14th, and Portland, Oregon at Harvey's, April 26th to the 28th. Listen, this has been, Naples, Off the Hook Comedy Club, May 3rd to the 7th. So, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you, Ween Dog. You are one of a kind. And by the way, do not feel bad about anything you did in the past.
Never.
Okay? It's made you into the great guy you are today.
Of course.
So, yes. Also, I want to thank everybody who called in, all the great fighters that called in. Conor McGregor, thank you for taking time out of your time to call in.
It's amazing.
As well as Rowdy Beck. It was great talking to her.
And CB Gold called in.
CB Gold, man. Thanks again, buddy. Fabian Edwards, this dude's a fucking monster, as well as Alonzo Menefield. So thank you, all those people. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and be good. Traps, sons, traps, sons, traps, sons, Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр булаа. Дагаж дуудан дөр булаа мөрөө.